My inner monologue is freaking out because there is just too much to do and not enough time to do it. Hello and welcome to Inner Monologue. I'm Moretta Ryan.
I'm Pamela Beeson.
And I'm Barbara Davidson.
And we did it right that time. Woo-hoo! Fantastic.
Big time lucky.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that before we launch into our topic today, we need to address the technical difficulty issues. Technical dick. Yeah, nailed it.
I mean, that's what it was,
we're leaving right? that in. We're leaving it in. It's staying in.
That's what it was. Technical dick. That's
yeah, technical exactly dick. So we had some technical difficulties last week. And if it weren't for Carmel and her skills, we wouldn't have had an episode. We would have had to completely re-record it. And we were gutted. So the story is that we recorded, it was probably about an hour worth of actual content. And it was on a really interesting topic. And there was just such amazing, like, back and forth and, you know, really interesting opinions and you know, discussions, etc. And my husband, who's our producer, he got it off of the soundboard. And I hear him calling me from upstairs. He goes, Moretta, we need to talk. I need to talk to you. He just sounded a little nervous. And I'm like, yeah, what's wrong? He goes, what color was this record button? And I'm like, I don't know. I think it was like blue or something. He goes, yeah. Blue means there's no SD card in the soundboard. And we didn't actually record anything. And he's just like, I'm so sorry. I should have told you. And I'm like, no, like it happens. It's, you know, it's your equipment. You're allowed to do what you need to do with it. But I kind of mulled it over for like half an hour before I told you guys, before I sent you a message. Cause I'm like, I don't even know how I feel about this. I don't know how you guys are going to feel about this. But all in all, we thought it's lost. It's done. It's over. And then Carmel had this great idea. Carmel, tell us what happened. What was your thought process here?
Well, my thought process was, firstly, no, I don't accept that. Because especially as at the end of that episode, we actually gave ourselves a pat on the back. Because usually we have to stop recording consistently because one of us has sworn, mentioned the name of our children, said something inappropriate, started laughing, coughing, choking, all of those sort of things.
Yeah, sure.
We've had to start again. We actually did the whole episode without pausing or restarting once.
Yeah.
So we celebrated. And on top of that, you know, it was excellent content as, you know, usual. So I was like, no, I do not accept this. Now, luckily, Moretta records the visuals from our conversations so that she can, you know, create some fun content in the background and some reels and whatnot for our socials, which she does an amazing job of.
Oh,
I'm like, with those recordings comes audio. So luckily I have a program that I need for my job, not that I would ever use work resources. But I got Moretta to download said recording session. Sent it to me and I was able to extract the audio from the visual and pop it into the right file type for Luke to be able to do his magic at the other end.
Yay. So, yeah, I mean, the audio wasn't as good, you know, because it was basically ripped apart and manipulated, but it could have been a lot worse. It could have been non-existent.
And you know what? I listened back. It wasn't actually that bad. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's we've had instances where it was way worse.
Oh god, yeah.
Yeah, like we had an episode where something happened with Barbara's mic, and I actually we still don't know what happened, but I ended up doing an intro going, guys, we know there's a problem with Barbara's mic. You don't need to contact me about it. We're dealing with it. just listen to the episode. It's cool.
It's cool.
It works.
Absolutely.
And then the sheet came along and made all the difference.
Oh, yes. Yes. And Barbara, you don't have a sheet today. You're not in your little hidey hole recording your...
I feel quite naked. I feel so exposed without it. Yeah, no, I moved into a new house. So, I mean, I have a sheet and I have headphones, but I have no idea where they are. So they're all somewhere in the garage, you know, chilling out down there with the washing machine and all the other crap that's been moved from the old house to the new house. So nice. Hopefully by next episode, I will have either a headset or a sheet. Preferably both.
Other than the fact that half of your stuff is still in the garage, are you happy and settled and everything's fallen into place?
Settled, no, because all my crap's in the garage. So as soon as that is out, then I'll be much happier. Just getting used to a few things. Like, we're now on a busier road than we were in the old house. So I do apologize if you hear buses. I think we're on a bus right now.
I know.
Crazy.
Convenient and yet inconvenient.
Yeah, well, the house is beautiful and it's a work in progress. I just need to get some plants, put some pictures up, make it just a bit more homely. We went out shopping. We just to let you know, our lounge and our fridge didn't fit in our house because it's an older house, an older style house. So, you know, on top of the cost of moving, we also had to go out and buy a lounge and a new fridge. But when you go shopping with Mitch, who is my partner, what happens is you go out looking for a lounge and a fridge freezer, and you come back with a fridge freezer and a new 75-inch TV, which was not what we needed, not what we wanted.
It wasn't on the list.
Don't get me wrong. Really great to watch like Married at First Sight on, but it feels like you're actually on the couch as an expert. But yeah, not what I needed at all. And we still don't have a lounge. We've got half of our modular in our lounge room. The other half is currently in the garden. So yeah, my partner's going to use it as part of his man cave, he says. So yeah.
Wow. And where exactly is your woman cave, might I ask?
Yeah, right. I feel like if he's going to have the man cave under the house in the garage, then my woman cave is just going to be the entire rest of the house.
Oh, fair enough.
So, my woman cave could be like a night out with the girls on a Saturday night.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Or your woman cave could be a euphemism. We don't know. took Carmel a second, but she's there. She's with us. She's back.
Too far.
Oh man, I'm a little terrified about hearing your moving stories, because I got approved for the rental.
Oh, congratulations! That is awesome.
Oh my
gosh.
When
do you move? Tell us all the things.
So we get the keys in 2 weeks, but we have to give 3 weeks' notice. So unfortunately, there'll be like about 10 days of overlap. Where we're paying two rents, which sucks, but we don't have to do a mad panic to get everything over there. You know, we can be really chill about it. And yeah, so I'm hoping to do a lot of, I'm going to have to take some time off work, obviously, and, you know, do some manual moving over. But I'm not 100% sure if the realtor, ended up pushing for us because I was just so annoying with phone calls.
But that's the market. You know what? You got to do what you got
to
do.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like we went to see it on Saturday and it was the first house that Luke and I were like, yeah, we both agree on it. And that hasn't happened like literally ever, even the house we're currently in. It wasn't.
Wow.
Yeah. It was more just like one of us was like, yes. The other one was, that'll do. We were both super keen on it. And we applied, and then Monday morning we get one of these like generic emails, like, you know, thank you for coming to visit this address. If you have any questions or would like to hear more, go to this link. And so I just replied to the email and I'm like, hey, my husband and I applied for this house. What's the process? What can I do? You know, who can I talk to? And I could tell that the guy was just like, oh God, just, talk to this person. So I ended up, he gave me another
handball.
Yeah, 100%. Just get rid of her. So he gave me this other guy's phone number and I phoned him. And I'm like, hey, I don't know if we met when I visited, blah, blah, blah. But I have great references and I'm happy to provide any other documents, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, oh, okay, well, we're going through it right now. We'll let you know. And so, yeah, there was a bunch of phone calls back and forth before finally he's like, okay. We're submitting two applications to the owner. One of them's yours. I will let you know.
So good.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And then like half an hour later, he's like, the owners chose you. I'm not 100% sure if this had anything to do with it, but if the neighbors know the owner, so across the street when we were going to see the house for the first time, there were neighbors that were outside and they were, it was a man, a woman and their child, and they were standing and kind of watching all the people and they didn't look particularly happy. And so I'm like, oh, okay, like I'm, you know, if we're going to live here, like, you know, is this just their face, you know, they're just thinking maybe, or are they actually cranky? So me being me, I go over and talk to them. And Luke is just, yeah. And Luke is just standing there trying not to shake his head and roll his eyes because this is a very Moretta move. And because I got, you know, I'm going over, I'm talking to them. I'm like, you know, can I ask you a question? Do you like the neighborhood? You know, are you happy here? Blah, blah, blah. And we end up having this like big conversation that the nicest people. And I'm like, hopefully we're your neighbors soon. If you know the owner, you know, say something good, all this stuff.
Nice. Maybe they were the owners, Moretta.
Oh, that. Dun, dun, dun. You know what? You know what? That's really interesting because I don't know any other reason why they would be watching. That is very interesting. But yeah, they were like super nice people. And I forgot to give them my name though, stupid me. I'm like, oh, let it, you know, put a good word in. Like, oh, the loud white girl.
Hopefully you put that on your application, right?
Yeah. Actually, you know what I did? I did put in the application because they ask you to put in, I don't know, like a cover letter, right? And so I'm like, I actually spoke to the neighbors across the street from this address and they were so lovely and their daughter's the same age as my oldest son and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like, you know, let's.
You sold that shit.
Well, I did my best because it's a nice house. It's great. It's, yeah, it ticks all the boxes. So I'm.
And is it still close to little dude's school?
Reasonably. It's 10 minutes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, cool. A 10 minute commute, we can totally deal with.
Just smash that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So Barbara, I hope I have some of the same luck as you do. I hope all my stuff fits through the door. Although now I'm thinking about the house and I'm worried.
Yeah, do some measurements and do not let your partner go to the shops with you.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to buy things that you need.
Absolutely.
Things that you want, fine. But things that you need.
He'll end up with like some sort of Xbox or PS4 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know these things.
Some description.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So anyways, let's get on to our super amazing topic. I am pumped about this. So we were inspired last week when we were talking about children's books and the edits from sensitivity readers that are coming through. And one of you ladies, was it Barbara? It was Carmel.
But I'll take the credit.
Oh, okay. Yep, that's fair.
So I'm so excited.
I'm to take credit for ideas that aren't mine.
Yeah, sure. Why not? The problem is the person who should be taking credit is in the room. So you got to make sure that they're not in the room before you try to take credit, right?
Yeah.
But Carmel had the great idea that we should do just a short and sweet episode on our favorite books to read to our kids. So we've each picked our top three. So we'll just tell you the author and the name of the book, just a little brief synopsis about it, and some of the books we have with us. So we'll put all the titles on Instagram. So yeah, don't worry about that. But we haven't told each other what these three books are. So I'm wondering if there's any crossover. But frankly, I'm actually hoping to get some inspiration from you ladies, you know, because it's so cool to introduce a silly or meaningful or wacky or whatever new book to share with your kiddo. So Carmel, you've got the most parenting experience of the three of us. And, well, you know, you've got a 12-year-old kid.
A longer parenting experience.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Longevity-wise.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. What did you think I meant?
Success.
Yeah, the parenting experience. You've had more experience.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So share your books with us.
One of the things I loved about Little Dude being little was the literature. And not just the books themselves, but I very much like to get into character. I was quite expressive, and there were times where there were accents, and I really, really enjoyed it until it got to the point where he was like, "Mum, seriously, not cool. You need to stop. You can't do this.
This is getting offensive.
Shut up and listen. That's exactly how Hagrid sounds." No. I love really getting into the books. So the other thing I had was an aunt who was very big into researching and buying the best books for him for his birthdays and whatnot when he was little. So I'm going to – my first two books are from the year of the rabbit that gets eaten. So it was an accident. The two books that she did purchase for him, the rabbit ended up getting eaten in the books. And that sounds so much worse than it actually is. So the first book is Pooh Bum. Now, all kids like something ridiculously immature.
Sure.
Right? That gets their attention. The book's by Stephanie Blake, and the illustrations are fabulous. They are bright. They get the attention. And basically it is about a little rabbit who will only say Pooh Bum. But I'm going to read you a little excerpt.
Ooh,
excerpt.
We get a caramel special. I love it.
Really?
Are you going to do a voice?
I'm just going to read it with enthusiasm. So, the rabbit lives. Spoiler alert. And when he's retrieved, his father says he pulled the little rabbit out and said, "Oh, my little Pooh Bum." The little rabbit was shocked. He exclaimed, "Good heavens, father, how dare you call me that? You know perfectly well my name is Simon." Greatest line in the whole book. Loved it. 5 stars.
Excellent. Pooh Bum.
Pooh Bum. The second book is a book by John Klassen called I Want My Hat Back. And it is about a bear. This is the one that I think your young lady would love, Barbara.
Yeah. Huh?
It's about a bear who loses his hat, and he goes through the whole forest asking all of the animals where, if they know or have seen where his hat is. Spoiler alert, the rabbit has the hat.
What's with the rabbits?
Right? It was an accident. But seriously, we used to laugh about it, and these books were purchased about 9 years ago. But he asks the rabbit, he says to the rabbit, "Have you seen my hat?" And the rabbit says, "No, why are you asking me? I haven't seen it. I haven't seen any hats anywhere. I would not steal a hat. Don't ask me any more questions."
Sounds like somebody testifying in front of Congress.
Right? So in the end, when someone says to him, "Have you seen a rabbit wearing a hat?" the bear says, "No, why are you asking me? I haven't seen him. I haven't seen any rabbits anywhere. I would not eat a rabbit. Don't ask me any more questions."
Excellent.
Entertaining book. Brilliant. Highly recommend those two. And then my third is a twofer deal. Because these are the Mr. Chicken books.
Okay.
Have you ever read a Mr. Chicken book?
No, but it doesn't look like a chicken. It looks like some sort of devil-y alien. Yeah.
Right. If you are into illustrations, I'm telling you, and voices, this is the way to go.
Okay.
Because I know Murda likes to do a good accent. Murder. And
murder.
Murder. Murder. He likes to talk about murder. But this one, you get to put the French accent on, and it is fantastic. And I'm trying to find the line that I really want, but there he is referred to in the book several times as Monsieur Paulet. Man, just love it. So I highly recommend this one's a bit longer. These are brilliant books.
Okay, so it's
really, really entertaining.
Mr. Chicken Goes to Paris. Who's it by?
Lee Hobbs.
Lee Hobbs.
Yeah. So the illustrations are fabulous. And this one is Mr. Chicken lands on London.
Oh, okay.
So there's a series of Mr. Chicken books. Illustrations are fantastic and hilarious. And the writing is entertaining and your kids will absolutely love them.
Nice. Cool. That sounds good. I'm very interested in this bear one. I think the what is it? Have you seen my hat?
I want my hat back.
Yep. I think I'm gonna have to investigate that for the boys.
Yeah, it's great.
Nice. Barbara, did you want to share yours next?
Sure. Now I am obviously not as prepared as Carmel. Not just because I've moved, because that's just in general general life. But I have my three books though, but obviously they're in the garage, so I'm not gonna show any. However, I will go through them. So first and foremost, when my daughter was in my belly, I was in TK Maxx and I saw a book that I got when I was about 1 year old, and I saw it and I thought it was discontinued and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So I bought it. And for the first maybe 6 to 8 months of my daughter's life, I read it to her quite a lot. And I still absolutely love it. It's such a beautiful book, and it's called When We Were Very Young. And it's part of the Winnie the Pooh kind of collection. So it's A.A. Milne that's the author for that. And what it is a collection of about, maybe like 20, 25 poems. So every page is a different poem. And it's just beautiful. And as you can imagine, you know, Winnie the Pooh, it's written so lovely. The first chapter is actually, you get to decide, it basically kind of encourages you to decide which of the Winnie the Pooh characters is reading it to you. So if you're a child reading it, you can kind of think, oh, this is Winnie the Pooh reading it. So you kind of listening to the words in your head, that sounded odd. As one of those characters. So it might be Christopher Robin or it might be Rabbit or whatever, but it's just a really beautiful way to start the book, but it's just different poems. And I just loved it. And my daughter absolutely loved it. Unfortunately, I did leave them in Scotland, which didn't help me. And I have looked for them. There are on Amazon, but I just haven't been that prepared, I guess is the word.
You've been busy.
But I'm definitely keen to, yeah, too busy. Too busy to shop for, for books, you know, I can get a TV, but just not a book. That's definitely number one. And I'd love to get that book again and just start reading this, because as I've said to you before, her favorite thing is bears. She loves bears. So the fact that it's got Winnie the Pooh, the illustrations are just beautifully processed throughout the book. And just, yeah, just a really, really lovely. Yeah, lots of different. And I love the fact that they're all different poems, because they're all like different short story type things. And they're gorgeous, and they keep you entertained for longer. So that's number one. Book number two, there's definitely a theme here. Now look, my daughter does love, basically it's when she goes to daycare and they do the stories at daycare, and then she comes back and she's obsessed with a particular book. She does love reading, and we do try and read to her every single night before she goes to bed. So her favorite all-time book, though, I don't know if it's something I would choose to read to her every night, but we're kind of forced to because she makes us, is We're Going on a Bear Hunt. That is just her
that
favorite,
was a winner
favorite
with
book.
Us too.
And it's such a great book, right? It's
brilliant.
Very good. And obviously that one's by Michael Rosen. But with Going on a Bear Hunt, what I love about it is that actually it's really stirred some kind of creativity in her. So it's not just about bears going on a hunting, going hunting for bears.
Bears going on a hunt. That is exactly that is the moral of the story.
With a knife and fork in hand.
Yeah.
That is an adult book. Not for children, that one.
Next week.
With that particular book, it stirred kind of that creativity. And what she does is she has her dolls and things, and they go on little hunts, but it's not just for bears. So they go on hunts for all sorts of things. Monster hunts, dragon hunts, mummy hunts, which I'm not sure about at the moment, because you know when the mummy comes out the cave, mummy's a bit cranky clearly. But it's amazing to just, I guess what I love about that book is not just the book itself, but what it does to their little minds. I think it's really amazing to just watch that kind of application of a book and kind of changing it to suit what she's doing at the time. So I love that it's stirring that in her. Third book is our good old friend, the Gruffalo. And I'm going to take a leaf from Carmel's book there, no pun intended, but I'm going to steal two for one. So you've got the Gruffalo and the Gruffalo's child, or as my daughter calls it, the Gruffalo's baby, which is just super cute. So yeah, again, bear related, kind of, because the Gruffalo's not really a bear, but kind
large,
of is a bear.
Very creature. Thing. Let's go with the large, furry creature.
That loves like boiled owl, right? So,
as you do,
which I'm sure bears would as well. And yeah, we love obviously reading the Gruffalo. And what that's also helped is that when they do little productions, little university productions, we'll go see them as well. And yeah, it's really good. And I was reading Julia Donaldson, obviously, is the author there.
She's got some amazing books.
Yes.
Phenomenal.
What is it? Room on the Broom.
Room on the Broom.
Zog.
Stickman, yeah.
And just the illustrations, like they really capture children. Yeah. Like those illustrations are just so beautifully done, and she's like, oh, I'd love to be in her mind. Like she's so creative. But yeah, she. I was reading an article on her, and she was saying that she gets a lot of complaints about the Gruffalo, because people think it's about it's bullying. Like the mouse is a bit of a bully and whatever. And she just turned around and said, no, that's not the case. It's about sticking up for yourself. And, the mouse is caught up in these situations.
Rewrite it, change the words. That's it.
Don't get me wrong. I actually don't like the mouse. Like, I don't like a great character, like, as in, I don't like him. Not that I don't like the character, but just like, I just, oh, you little sneaky mouse, you. But yeah, like, I just think, turn around, and it's kind of turning around into a bit more. For anyone that is listening, not watching, I'm pretending to be a mouse. I don't know why, it just felt like the right thing to do at the time.
That's fair.
So they would be my three very commonly themed books that I read to my daughter.
Well, you know, those common themes, though, they're common because they're beloved.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and some of these books, like all of the Julia Donaldson books, like I'm going to be keeping them to give to my kids' kids. Like they're great material.
Same.
Useful. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So my three, I went a little bit wonky because.
Like the wonky donkey wonky?
No. Off the beaten path. You guys might not have heard of any of these books simply because I feel like they're just so incredible that more people need to read them. And this is the advantage of having a teacher for a partner is like he finds these things. And, you know, if I pass them in a bookstore, I'd be like, meh. But he brings them home and they're just magic. It's unbelievable. So my very first one is called The Brothers Quibble. So it's by Aaron Blaby. He's the same author that does the Pig the Pug books and Piranhas Don't Eat Bananas and that kind of a thing. The Brothers Quibble is a really cute story about it's at first he's a single child. His name is Spaulding Quibble. And one day, just wait till his brother's name. Tragedy of tragedies, his parents bring home a little brother. And he is no longer the king of the house. He's got to share all of this attention with this annoying baby brother. So he goes on a bit of a war path, you know. There's paint and hair pulling and glue and feathers and a hose and, you know, all sorts of this crazy stuff. And it wears out his parents but this keeps going on and on and on where he just has this reign of terror on his little brother. But wouldn't you know it, babies grow up. And one day, Bunny doesn't take his name's Bunny, by the way, the baby brother, Bunny Quibble. Bunny is old enough. Yeah, I know. It's terrible. Terrible names, but the story is cute.
Names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But finally, Bunny Quibble gets old enough and he doesn't take his brother's crap anymore. And and all it takes is, one bit of just stands up for himself. And all of a sudden, Spaulding is like, okay, maybe you're maybe you're not that bad. And so, you know, it's about how even though you fight and you argue and, you know, life isn't perfect with a sibling, it's still one of the best friends you'll ever have. So, yeah, it's just a sweet story. And yeah, it's just it's beautiful. It's darling. So, yes, highly recommend. The next book is called, and I cannot recommend this highly enough. It is called Drawn Together. Now, this is by, and I apologize in advance. I'm going to butcher this name. I'm so sorry. Min Lei, and Caldecott medalist Dan Santat. So again, I apologize if I booked those names, butchered those names. But basically, it is about a little boy who's gone to stay with his grandfather for a little bit. Now, normally when a grandfather and a grandchild get together, they just have the best of times. But unfortunately, these two people don't speak the same language. And they go through this really difficult phase where, you know, they can't watch the same TV, you know, they can't play games because they don't understand each other. And one day, the little boy just gets out his markers and starts to draw because that's what he loves to do. And the grandfather gets inspired because he loves to draw too. And they have two completely unique styles. You know, one is more of a traditional black, white, and gray, and the other is like color, kind of magical superhero. And they end up creating this world together without using words. They are literally drawn together.
So beautiful.
That's cute.
It is so
sweet.
Okay, and I know, I'm like, I want to cry.
Seriously.
But it's so beautiful.
It is gorgeous. And speaking of gorgeous, the illustrations are just magical because they were able to so beautifully encapsulate two completely different artistic styles and in some cases actually merge them together to show, you know, like one learning from the other. And yeah, just an absolutely incredible story. There's a little bit of adversity thrown in there, but it's completely appropriate for like a young kid, you know. It doesn't have such difficult subject matter that you're like, oh, I should save this till they're older. Like I think we started reading this to my kiddo when he was like 5, and yeah. Sometimes it's the kind of book where it's like sometimes they have questions, and sometimes it's just a nice story. You know?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. And it's what's cool about it is there's actual minimal words because the two can't talk. So the pictures tell the story and you talk about it.
That's even more gorgeous.
Yeah. Now, carrying on that same theme, my final book is called Journey by Aaron Becker. Now, what makes this book completely unique is it is 0 words. Absolutely 0 words. And the illustrations are incredible because they're just so intricate and so detailed. And it's not just about the action that's going on in the foreground. There are all these little kind of hidden bits and pieces in the background. And the more often you go through this book and you talk about the pictures and you talk about, okay, well, what's happening? What is this journey that this person is going on? You know, who are the bad guys? Who are the good guys? You know, what is this person trying to do, et cetera, et cetera? You end up finding all these little bits and pieces that you might not have found otherwise. And this is actually, funnily enough, it's a series. So I think there's 4 in total. We've only got 3 currently, but none of them have words. And it's a continuation of the story. And it's absolutely brilliant because, you know, while it's the same story, you find new things to talk about. And because there's no words, your kid who can't read yet can tell you the story.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
And you can have like a different story each time as well. Same kind of concept, same outcome, but kind of a different story, a different adventure each time.
I like that. And their imagination could just go wild.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, highly recommend. It's got a sticker on the front that says Caldecott Honor Book. So, yeah, this This isn't any shabby throwaway book. So yeah.
Hey. I mean, Mr. Chicken is an Australian children's laureate. So I just, you know, this one's got a shiny sticker on the front too.
Hey,
so.
I'm not bagging a book. There's no such thing as bagging a book on this podcast.
No,
all right?
This is true.
Yes. We love it. Ooh, okay. So I'm very excited because I'm inspired by both of your books. So I think I'm going to have to go out and do some Amazon shopping once we're finished here.
I miss being able to read children's books.
Aww,
you really do.
Your books, Carmel, honestly, can I say, whilst they were like read, and I'm sure they were read a lot about 9 years ago, they're like in pristine condition. Mm. Like, I love seeing that, like, Yeah.
Mate, you should see them. They are, yes. Yeah. And they will stay that way forever. And same, I will absolutely pass them down to my grandchildren. Assume if I have grandchildren.
Yeah. You know what? It breaks my heart a little bit when people don't take care of books, because it's like they're treasures. They're little pieces of art, you know? Even like the you know, run of the mill flip up peekaboo books, you know? Like it's an adventure, depending on what age you're at, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing your books. I think that, you know, we're going to close this out. And I don't know about you guys. I feel very inspired. And I just love reading to my kids. So I can't wait to introduce some new titles to them. So thank you for that.
Nice. Yeah. Thanks for the bear inspiration too.
Yeah. Good call, Carmel. Good call.
Mate, I'm telling you.
That's it.
If you can get over the part where the bear eats the rabbit, it's.
Yeah, I might just rip that page out. No, I'm kidding. I would never ruin a book. I would never ruin a book.
Don't.
All right. Well, look, we'll end that here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We want to hear from you. What were your favorite kids' books growing up? And what kind of books do you enjoy reading to your kids now? We want some more inspiration. We're never going to stop reading ourselves or reading to our kids. So drop us a line in social media, share your photos, etc. And other than that, hit us up on social media and make sure that you like and subscribe for updates for future podcasts. Ladies, love you lots. I will talk to you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.